to turn in your Bible, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you. Thank you. Honor yourself, God, even by and because of our Lord and Savior. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. Spirit of God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Remember, John is dealing with the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he's God. And he sums up all of history, secular and sacred, and brings it all together, Old Testament, New Testament, and that he is who he is. You must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He is God. And the most wonderful way to show it is in his earthly ministry, in particular in his dealing with the Jews. Of all the people that should know him and understand him, it is the Jew. And therefore, if you want to have an exposure to the human heart, an exposure to the wonderful grace and person of God, then you need to have the encounter between whom? Between the Jews and God. The Jews are going to have to struggle through what they think they know, ought to know, what they don't know. So now, here in John chapter 8, as we've been looking at, remember now in John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus said unto them, you are from, well, that's verse 24. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. So that's a very stated, blunt statement. If you leave me out of your life, you will die in your sins. Very clear. If you leave me out, you must believe that I am, verse 24, he. Now, the response to that, verse 25, then said they unto him, who art thou? Now remember, they're trying to trap him, trick him, to say, in all these different arguments, to get him to say that he was God. If you just say you're God, which you say you are, if you would just say it in the hearing of these people around us in the temple, etc., if you would just say that, then we could get you for blasphemy and we could have you stoned to kill you. That's our plan. So who are you to say, unless we believe in you, we will die in our sins? And so they wanted him to say, he's God. I mean, who else could say that except God? You're going to die in your sins if you don't believe in me. Now, so having said that little bit, now, who am I? Who are you? Okay. Chapter 8, you remember, in verse 12, Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. Who are you? I am the light of the world. Now, and we did all that. Now, in the light of that. Now, chapter 8, if I can, and in verse 32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So now, God's word, I'm going to give you my word, I am my word, verse 31, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue, abide, stay active habitually in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, my word, and the truth shall make you free. So now I am who I am. I said who I am, and I've given you my word. I am the word become flesh and dwelt among you. I am the word. I am who I am. And you will be free from sin, bondage, slavery. You're caught up, as we shared together in verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant, a slave of sin, of the sin. So we're caught. They're caught. Everyone's caught in our old sin nature, and we can't get out of it, whether we like it or not. We can't choose to be anything else, like we shared with the bag of potatoes and stuff up here. Every time you reach in the bag, and to have to do all kinds of things, word, thought, and deed, but every time you go down into the bag, you're going to have to answer every thought, word, and deed by what you pull out, and it's always a potato. Reach in your heart, it's always your old nature. Anything else, no matter how you do it. Word, thought, good things, bad things, noble, ignoble, whatever. You never get anything else. That's all you get. You can't pull up that which isn't in there. And that's, God said, you're a slave. You're caught. You're in bondage. And now, so having said that little bit and reminding ourselves, so now in John chapter 8 and in verse 33, remember. And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou he shall be made free? So they exercise their pride and their ego and their understanding as they understood it, that we are Abraham's seed. That's what we are. And they identified themselves as Abraham's seed. Now hang on to that. That's what they did. Now, our Lord, were they wrong in what they said? No, no, they weren't. Sliding down to verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's seed. I know that, he said. I know that you are Abraham's seed. There's no question about that. And I am knowing it, perfect tense. I know it. I know you are. It never, not, no debate. No debate at all. You are Abraham's seed. Now, in order to get that, you want to lock that in, because the Jewish people are counting on that. They aren't counting on Moses. They're counting on Abraham. Abraham. And hopefully, everything that God did in and with Abraham is enough to cover us all down the corridor of time, all us Jews. Now hang on to that. Over, if you would please, over to Genesis chapter 12 for a moment. This is important to understand it when you're thinking of a Jew. You say, why don't Jews just get saved and believe on the Messiah, the Christ? Why don't they do that? Genesis chapter 12, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 7, 12 and 7. And remember the Abrahamic covenant, chapter 12. I'm just going to go to verse 7 if I can. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. He there, I have I've given you this land to the seed of Abraham's seed is going to have the land. Now, for time's sake, over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41. In Isaiah chapter 41, picking up our thought. Going directly to verse 8, all the way through the line, it's going to echo this Abraham's seed. No question about it. Isaiah 41, verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. A Jew, lock that all in. They got it. They got it if they want to. Now, to Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, if I can, picking up just to get the thought, so you see it. Luke chapter 1, and picking up the great discourse, Mary said, now it's sliding down to verse 55. And as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, God spoke, and to his seed forever, to the seed of Abraham forever. We, John 8, we are Abraham's seed. That's what they said. And the Lord Jesus said, you are correct. You are Abraham's seed. No question about it. Now, in the light of that, keeping in mind, over to John 8 again. John chapter 8. And keeping in mind, one of the things they're going to do, they're counting on the merit, that the merit, the credits, if you would, that Abraham would give enough credit for all of us Jews that are going to be born, cover us. So we're all covered under that wonderful, wonderful person of Abraham. So now, having said that, and so we're safe and good, no matter, we are Jews of all the people in the world, we are the seed of Abraham. Now, and therefore, it's good enough, the credit balance is enough, so we're going to just rest in the fact that we're Jews, the seed of Abraham, and we're going to live off that. Now, God is going to clobber them. You can't get clobbered any more than he's going to do. He hit them with a 50-pound weight, and they're stuck. Reality. Awful, awful reality. The reality of sin? Uh-huh. The reality of bondage? Uh-huh. The reality of being a sin, slavery? Uh-huh. Yeah, bondage. Now, and they're counting on that. Now, so, and people do that, you know. They count on their background, they count on their where they've been raised or what they're enjoined or what they do. And people are counting on all kinds of things to live off them. And they go down to the corridor of time, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, month, the year, each time, and they're counting. What are they counting on? They're counting on somehow their parents. They're counting on tradition. They're counting on something in their life, their good works. They're counting on something that's going to merit and give them credit. That's what the Jews are doing. That's what the Pharisees are doing. It's wrong. You can't do that. But we do it. And they did it. They did it. And people count on, I'm an American and not something else. They're counting on that. And you know of anything, if you're counting on the historic, wonderful America Declaration, Constitution, I wouldn't count on it. And if anyone is waking up, you realize whatever you could count on 50 years ago, all those men went to war and paid a price in life and limb, that you could have that. And people counted on it. But you know, it's all disappearing. And they were counting on it for the future, for the children, the grandchildren. Yay! But it's not going to be there. Wow. We count all kinds of stuff to secure us, to make us feel good. And that's what they did. And that's what they did. They did it with gusto. So here in Romans chapter 8 and in verse 37, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek You seek to kill me, because my word hath no place, no continuance in your life. It has no development. It has no future. My word has no future in your life. No result. As it proceeds, it's not going to produce anything. So now, and you're going to kill me. You're going to kill me. Now remember now, in chapter 7, verse 19, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? So now hang on to that. They're going to kill him. And in chapter 5 again, and in verse 18, 5 and 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So they knew all this, and they're trying to kill him. They're busy trying to kill him. That's what they're going to do. So now, and there's no place, his word, because my word hath no place, no continuance in your life. Now, verse 38. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. So I am, here's my word now, verse 37, because my word hath no place in you. So you're going to go from my word to verse 38, I speak, my word, I speak, that which I have seen with my Father. And the word seen has to do with to see, to behold, to see with the eyes, to have the wonderful effect of seeing. Now, it's in the tense, in the tense is rather interesting, because when it uses this particular perfect tense, it's going to what? Well, it's looking at the effect of seeing. Here's seeing with your eyes. The effect of seeing with your eyes, the effect, and in other words, what is the effect of seeing with your eyes? There is a revelation. There is a revealing. A revealing, a revelation. I speak what that which I have seen. I am speaking. I am my eyes coming out. They're revealing. My ministry is to reveal God. To make God be seen, as it were. Now, and thus in doing so, and you, the other side of the coin, and you do, the word doing, the word you do, that which you have seen with your Father. So you are going to show in your life your Father. I'm going to show in my life my Father. And I'm going to make known his wonderful, wonderful person. You are going to make known your Father. You are going to make known. So if we look at your life, at your behavior, your everything about you, what are we going to learn? Bondage to sin. You have an old sin nature that is triggered and activated to do what? To kill me. And who do you think inspired that? The devil himself inspired it. So when we look at you, Pharisees, we see the evil of sin. Your father, the devil. He's going to say that, but not yet. They aren't going to hear it. They're going to hear it in the next paragraph or two. After a little bit, he's going to say it to them directly. You have seen, verse 39, you have seen which you have seen with your Father. Now, that's pretty straightforward. And I have seen with my Father. So now remembering if you would, in John, easiest way to do that, go back over, I'm going to do the Lord first, L-O-R-D, the Lord. He sees to make everything known. His seeing is to reveal, to bring forth, to show forth. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, to show forth. Now, John chapter 3, And John chapter 3, picking up in verse 32, I'll read verse 31 for a context. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. So our Lord is making known, showing forth, revealing in a most wonderful way God's wonderful person. Now, over if you would in John chapter 46. And remember, as you're doing that, did I say John 46? I'll wait for you to find it. Everyone looking? John 46. How about that? How about 646? 646. It would have been interesting if I read John 646, wouldn't it? He has something extra biblical. John 6. And in 46, not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. He hath seen him. So his wonderful ministry is to show forth this his wonderful person. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And again, all kinds of places. I want you to get the flavor of he's the revealer. So you don't have a question in your mind. His purpose is the Lord, to see the Lord, is to show forth the wonderful, invisible, infinite God. John chapter 12, picking up, please, in verse 44. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. Verse 45, He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. So that's my whole ministry. My wonderful purpose is to reveal, to the revelate, and make real the wonderful person of who I am. So we're going to go and discover God, God the Father, by way of God the Son. That's correct. Now, on the other hand, in John 8, and the end of verse 8, you do that which you have seen with your father. So how does that work out easily? Over in John chapter 1, and picking up, please, in verse 11. He came unto his own, that's the Jewish people, and his own, what? Received him not. They rejected him as a nation. They rejected him. As many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power to become the sons, the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. Verse 11, they did not receive him. As a nation, they did not do that. Over in, if you would, in chapter 3. Chapter 3. And in verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because the deeds are evil. They don't want to be exposed. Verse 20. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Why? Lest his deeds, his works, all of these are the same deeds, works that you have in John 8, lest his deeds should be reproved, and they don't want to be convicted and converted. Verse 20. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds, his works, may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So you do that which is of your father the devil. You don't honor me, and you have to serve, as we shared last time, God or what, something else. You can't serve both. You can't serve God and what you're trusting in. You have to make a choice. There's no neutrality, There's no middle ground. There just isn't any. There's no such thing as a middle ground. You're either good, bad, right, or wrong. So, true, error. That's all. But we'd like to have a lot of gray so that we're covered in sort of not having to be responsible. But that isn't quite going to work out. The reality of that is something else. So now, in the light of deeds, over, if you would, while you're here, over in Romans chapter 3, the book of Romans in chapter 3, and you will note, the Pharisees, were revealing the source of their activity, their thinking was the devil himself. So here at Romans chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 20. Therefore, remember their the law and Abraham. Verse 20, 3 and 20. Therefore, by the deeds, the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but the law of faith. God, you aren't going by works. What are you Pharisees going by? Works? Going by our works? Verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without deeds or the works of the law. So we're without them. So God, it isn't work with that. And so here we are going to evidence, John chapter 8 again. We're going to go and evidence what we have seen, and our works are going to be there. And we're going to go, and we're looking for those works. We're looking for that relationship. That's what we're counting on. So now, having said that, verse 38, now they're going to answer. Now remember in the 8th chapter, there's 7 times. He says, they answer. He says, they answer. He says, they answer. 7 times. Go right through the 1, 2, 3, 4. The argument, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Wow. Now, so here we are. If I can, picking up, please, in verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. See, now they said the seed, they got that, no question. Now, is it true that Abraham is our father? Because we're counting on that. We're counting on that with a seed, and thus we belong as children of Abraham. So, verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. That's what they're going to claim now. And they're looking for that. Abraham, and we're looking, and we're going to claim him as our father. That's what we're going to do. We're going to claim him. Now, God, you're going to have to help them. And he has done that way back with John the Baptist. Go back with me to Luke, coming back here a little bit. Luke chapter 3. Luke in chapter 3, picking up, please. In John the Baptist speaking to the crowd, people, in verse 3, Luke 3, verse 6. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now, verse 8. Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance, and begin N-O-T. N-O-T. Don't you be saying what? Within ourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Don't you be claiming Abraham as your father as a way out. Don't do that. It's true you are Jews. It's true you are the seed of Abraham. But, you're missing out. Your father isn't God. It's the opposite of God, as it were, the devil. Now, over to Romans again to see it. John the Baptist did it. And what did they know? What did the Lord bring out to them to help them? John chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, and picking up, please, in verse, in the light of it, verse 3, I could wish myself accursed for Christ, for my brethren and my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul, the Jew, a Jew, wishing he could reach the Jews. Sliding down, if I can, to verse 5. Whose are the fathers, and whom, as concerning flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever, amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not, N-O-T, all Israel, which are Israel. All Jews aren't Jews. They aren't really Jews. All Christians aren't really Christians. They just really aren't. They just aren't. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Verse 8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not, N-O-T, the children of God. We are Abraham's children. No, you're not. But the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as a seed. So you can't, the real seed, the real Jew, is the Jew that believes. Now, what about Abraham? What about Abraham? You are not Abraham. Abraham was my friend. You want to kill me. That's what you want to do. There's a difference between you and me, said the Lord. Now, back over, if you would. One before we go back. Over to Genesis chapter 26. Now, you know Abraham, when he met the pre-incarnate Christ on his way to Sodom in Genesis 18. You don't have to turn there. But you remember, he didn't talk about killing him. He honored him. Abraham honored the pre-incarnate Christ. He honored him. Genesis 18, 1 through 8. Now, Genesis 26. Genesis 26, picking up. To be Abraham, to do the works of Abraham. Chapter 26 and verse 5. I'll read verse 4 for a little better. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and to thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because then Abraham did what? He obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments and my statutes and my law. He honored me. You don't honor me. You reject me. You reject my word. My word has no place in you. You are not mine. Now, back over, if you would, in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, on our way back. Abraham believed God, trusted God. He's the father of us all, as it were. And in Romans chapter 4, you'll pick it up very quickly. Here's Abraham, and they are not like Abraham at all. They'd say they're Jews, but they aren't following Abraham. They don't like Abraham at all in that sense. Chapter 4, verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Abraham isn't saved by works. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So, verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not, N-O-T, to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void or non-effective, and the promise is made of no effect. On the contrary, it is. Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end purpose, that might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. And then the last words, who is the father of us all. Not just you. You guys don't believe. Abraham is the father. He's the father of everyone that believes. He's the father. Now, verse 18. Here's Abraham's example. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now they said, back over to John 8. John 8 and verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works. There's your word we've been looking at, deeds. You would do the works of Abraham. But you don't do the works of Abraham at all. You don't do them. You don't honor Abraham. And thus, in the light of that, over to verse 40. Verse 40. You don't do the works of Abraham at all. Verse 40. But now you seek to kill me. That's what they're doing. They're standing in front of him, plotting, planning, trying to get him. And now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you, I have told you the truth. I have told you the truth. I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I told you, if you don't believe in me, you're going to die in your sins. And you want to know, I'm God. And you don't want to accept that. You don't want to receive that. You don't want to honor that. And they didn't want to do it. And therefore, verse 40, you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham didn't have your works, didn't have your attitude, and wasn't out to kill me. Abraham never did this. We just read that. He just never did that. He honored me. And you don't honor me at all. Verse 41. You do the deeds of your father. He's going to say in just a bit, another sentence, your father's the devil. Now how penetrating if someone said that to you and made it straightway into your heart. And it was coming from the Supreme Court of Heaven. You are lost in your sins. Period. You will die in your sins. Period. What would you do? Can't fight it. It's real. The reality of the realness of reality is awful hard. To be a slave to sin, to be in bondage to sin, yes. Yes, it is. And yes, it is. And you do the deeds of your father. Wow. That's what you do. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, if you would, then you will please note on the other side of the coin, over, if you would, in verse 39, if you were Abraham's children, if you were, you would be doing the works of Abraham. If you were Abraham's children. Now, are you Abraham's children? No, we're not Abraham's children. And we read in John 1, you don't have to turn back there, in John 1, verse 11, he came and they received him not, John 1:11, unto his own. They received him not. Verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the privilege, the power to become children or sons. But here's this word, technon, sons, children, 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 children of God. All right? Now, Abraham's children. But you aren't Abraham's children at all. You aren't Abraham's children. You belong to somebody else. You don't believe, you're an unbeliever. And thus they were. There's no question they were unbelievers, and they didn't believe. So therefore, now, God, that we're children. So God, we don't want to be in verse 11, they received him not. We want to be in verse 12, as many as received him, to them they became made, the privilege, the power, to become children. So God, how can they get out of it? Believe, and they would become children. How did we get out of it? How did we get out of it? Most of us aren't Jews, so we couldn't lean on that. All we can lean on is our good works, but they aren't that good. And we can lean on that we aren't as bad as somebody else, but then we aren't as good as we need to be. So we never win. We never win. We're losers. So God, how are you going to help us? Well, as many as received him. So God, what they, Jew, would not do at the moment, and they still aren't, the believing heart, the whosoever right now is doing. Now, God, I believe, and therefore, I didn't make myself a child of God. When I received you as my Savior, I became a child of God. I was born again, born, spiritually born. Physically, yes, from my mom and dad. But born physically so that I could be born spiritually. That's the whole purpose of being on planet Earth, to be a human, to be able to know you. Wow. Now, over, if you would please, in the light of our little word, child, children, over, please, to, 1 John, and in 1 John chapter 3, John is going to take our little word, children, and help us. So God, here's a blunt statement that you are of your father the devil. You are not Abraham's children. You are not. But we are, but you're not. You're not at all. Wow. Think how devastating if you were trusting that and you were a Jew. How devastating that is. You've trusted that from your father, grandfather, great-great-grandfather, all the way down. You could trace your line, you know, from down to the Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. What can we do? Well, we can trace our line. I've heard people say, I'm a relative of Governor Bradford. Somebody else, you know, some sports figure. A sports figure? Really? What is that going to do for you? I am a big celebrity. I've been a CEO. I've been whatever. Whatever it is. What is that going to do? What is that going to do? Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I remember as a little boy, my father had all of these bowling trophies. He had a big chest full of them. Big thing full of bowling trophies. He had them. And he had them. Now, it didn't do my father a bit of good to have all those bowling trophies. Do you know that? Without his relationship to Jesus Christ, a bowling trophy doesn't save. Any kind of trophy, any kind of achievement, any kind of physical, mental, moral, you're going to do it in and of yourself, will never save you. Never, never. And it certainly didn't help me, all those bowling trophies. You know, I can't even lift the bowling ball. Wow. So, man, it doesn't pay. God, what you're devastating. You're taking away everything that we're counting on somehow to make it work out tomorrow. And tomorrow, in our world right now, globally, it's all falling apart. So, man, 30 years ago, you could, but not now. Not now. All you got to do is turn on the news. Liberal news, forget that. Turn on the news and get some what's going on. There's no way, dear friend, no way. Nothing safe, nothing sure, not at all. No, no. Now, so God, here we are, John, 1 John, chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons, there's the word son, but children, children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. God, you have called us children. Abraham, what did you say to the Pharisees and them? You are not children. What do you want to say to me, God, as I rest in your son? Children, my child, watch. And you, I can't go there. If you want to go, the little expression, this word children, is also called, there's another word out of that same root. Little children, my little children. John will use the word, my little children, my little children. Here it is right in front of me here. John chapter, 1 John 2, verse 18. Little children, my little children. God, you're able to say to us, to the believing heart, we're little children, And verse 2, chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons, the children of God. Now, right now, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, God. So wonderfully, we're going to look to you, and right now, they couldn't, God, you took away from them. They were trying to claim being children, and you took it away from them. And God, here we are trying to claim it, and you tell us to. You tell us to claim it. I tell you to claim it. Now are you the children of God. Now. And in closing, over if you would, Romans 8. Adding to that wonderment. You are the Abraham and the heirs and your inheritance in the land. That's true. But God, we're children. We are. God, you said so. And Romans 8, picking up, please, in verse 16. The Spirit of God himself beareth witness with our spirit. What is your purpose, Spirit of God? That we are the children of God. So your ministry is to be able to help us to be able to say, verse 15, Abba, Father. We're able to say that. We are children. That's correct. You are legitimate children. And if children, verse 17, if children, there's your word, then heirs of God. Wow. Joint heirs with Christ. Heirs of God. But when I understand I'm a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ, he, the Savior, in he is the Son and we are sons. In him we are children. We are joint heirs with Christ. All that he is and has, we are joined with him to share that, enjoy that, and exercise that. So if we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. God, here we are looking to you, and in a most wonderful way, what can we know? Well, in verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. That's us, children, called to honor the Father. And God, I know that everything has to work out. It does. Everything isn't good at all, but everything works out for good. So God, that's what we're going to hang in there for, and we're going to look for that. And if God, if you be for us, verse 31, if you be for us, who can be against us? And God, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 35, nothing. Are we then more than conquerors? Absolutely. Verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so God, as we just put it very fast, what are we reminding ourselves of? It's a wonderful thing. The Jews could never say that. They tried to live off their own fuel, their own substance, their own self-worth. They tried to live off the system of the world. They were earthly. They were wrong. They ended up in bankruptcy. They are in bankruptcy. Now, God is going to work it out for Israel, no question about it. But I want you to know, here we are, trophies of God's grace on planet Earth. Here we are. And God, we're looking to you. And we're going to look to you. And Israel needs a testimony. They ought to be children. They ought to believe. So what is our assignment? To be a believing believer. To be a believing, to stay real. Really, the real reality of rightness. To stay real in the realities of life. We are sinners saved by grace. We are saved by the grace of God who is right in saving us. And we're justified and declared right in all of heaven. We, all of heaven, angels good and bad, right now can look at us. And we are sinners, but we're saved. And therefore, Lord, when I receive the Lord as my Savior, all the angels have to pay attention to the resident of my life, who is president of my life. And they all have to pay attention, as you know. They all understand that. They all understand there's a saved man, a saved woman, a saved boy, a saved girl. And they all know it. Abraham, we're trying to be Jews and make it. You aren't going to make it that way. You aren't going to make it as children of Abraham. You don't do the works of Abraham. There's no advantage being a Jew if you don't believe. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness and God for this little bit. Thank you very, very much. Looking to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. God, we aren't looking to tradition. We aren't looking to our background, our genealogy, or anything else. God, we aren't looking to our parents. We aren't looking to our works. We aren't looking to anything. God, it isn't that. It's we believe on your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Abraham understood. He believed on you and the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We, the seed of Israel, is Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you very much. We can look to you. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, help them. Convict them. Bother them. And for those of us who claim and know you, God, stir our heart that you are able, in your wonderful reality, the realness of it. It's a wonderful thing to know you as our Savior for real, to know our sins are forgiven for real, to know that we're a child legally and rightly for real. God, to know you as our Father for real. God, thank you. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. And you may want to turn in your hymnal if you would. You're going to have 365, but if you go right next door to 366. 366.